Are you ready for this? Calls Raven to me from the corridor outside my office. Don't forget, we're pressing the button tomorrow. I sink back in my chair, my feet resting on my cluttered desktop. Oh, I'll remember, thank you. Okay then, good night. The main door hisses and clicks shut after her, muffling her steps across the stone floor of the outside lobby, where a lift bell rings. To my left, the sun sinks over the Hudson River, turning its water into twinkly pink vertical strips between the towers of Battery Park City. It's been a labor-intensive week, finishing a 300-page prospectus, issuing nearly $1 billion of notes for a blue-chip banking client. And now that it's all done, at noon tomorrow we press the button, as Raven said, meaning transmit it electronically to the cold light and scrutiny of the Securities and Exchange Commission, at which point it had better be right. I think everything is right, but pressing this particular button is my responsibility, and if there is still some screw-up lurking somewhere in the document, then this particular promising little financial law career of mine could quickly head down the toilet. Sometimes I think that might be more interesting for me, but this isn't the moment to test that out. It's 8:30. I'm the only one left on this floor of the building. Zoe will be here soon to clean the rooms. It's funny, she so much reminds me of my ex-girlfriend to look at. I've been tempted to tell her this just for fun, but it's probably a good thing I haven't. I yawn. All right, I shall wake myself up with one more coffee, look through my SEC checklist for the last time, and then bust this joint. As I wander down the corridor towards the kitchen, I'm surprised to feel the gnawing of an entirely new disgust at these familiar surroundings, with all those trappings to be found in any big office. The endless heaps of paperwork, also important, yet always adding up to the same old shuffle of money among a small bunch of hidden, faceless, super-rich individuals. The weary photos of horrible babies on desks. The limp, cozy newspaper cartoons pinned to the beige partitions around the secretary's desks. The cluelessly unpleasant items of clothing draped on chair backs. The corporate photos of white middle-aged idiots with bad facial hair choices, frightened eyes, stale smiles, and crabbed imaginations. Average, bland, unthinking, unquestioning. Stupid, in short. Ugly beings. Wastes of life. No, hold on, what am I saying here? Ugly beings? That's not right. Okay then, well, why isn't it right? I'm sure the ugliness I just perceived wasn't merely an illusion. So where and what exactly was it? I reached the kitchen, where several trays of ornate sandwiches, ordered to excess for some earlier meeting, lie around uneaten and ready to be binned by Zoe. Altering my drinks plan on a whim, I press the creamy choc button on the drinks machine. Ugly beings isn't right, I see, because what's ugly is not the beings themselves, but the uses to which they are put, the dreary shapes and flavours into which so many of them have been squashed by career and survival. I taste my creamy choc, give it a nod of surprised approval, and decide on reflection to add a little sweetener. Most people here seem as if there is nothing in their daily lives of any real enchantment, of any imaginative aliveness, of any of the bright inventive magic that some of them must have had something of once long ago. They seem as if all that remains is what batters and constrains them into lazy habits. One or two may be doing a good job of concealing some kind of imaginative enchantment behind a veneer of drabness, but most of them are surely not such fine actors. I've talked about this deadening process a few times with my good friend Alaya, and she is less forgiving of its victims than I am. Rather than blaming the situation they are caught in, she's more inclined to blame them for getting caught in it. I empty an unfamiliar yellow packet of chemical sweetener into my drink and stir it gravely with a pink plastic swizzle stick. Well, let's be honest then. What a huge design flaw that is. What a flaw that the wild and beautiful voltages of so many millions of imaginations everywhere should atrophy from the greyness of external events and so be extinguished. That's a gigantic, fundamental, planet-wide fuck-up, no question. What a stupid and disgusting waste. Shaking my head with uncomprehending profundity, I mooch back up the corridor, sipping my creamy choc. I've never tried this drink option before, but it's very tasty, I have to say. I shall add it to my office kitchen repertoire for sure. A close third, just behind espresso choc and normal coffee. As I re-enter my office, I feel light-headed. Deciding some fresh air will do me good, I float across the floor and through the window door to my balcony, where I lean on the rail and find myself dropped into the grand feast of a midsummer sunset, spread across a panorama of towers and water. Poisoned sky, dripping orange through the twinkle of the river, presses down, hot and thick, upon the west side highway traffic surging far below. Strange, but that stab of contempt I just felt in the corridor feels as if it's made my eyesight clearer, revealing the truth of this idyllic balcony scene we have here. This is me, Jamie Peake, peeking out of two little eye-slit windows cut into the end of a thin trunk of flesh perched on this giddy ledge above a concrete highway. Each of these windows gives a little wet reflection of the sun across the river till I feel myself swaying and shut them both. But the sun spikes the eyelid blinds and tints them vermilion like eyeshadow. I lay the back of a hand against my cheek, then a palm against my head above the ear. Behind me in the office, where the walls run with moisture, a sluggish ceiling fan turns. Inside the building's outer wall, a pipe gurgles, as if to break free and flex and coil around me, hissing. Below me, a siren wails up and down, continuous and smooth as a sine wave, curving where the straight-edged skyscrapers shine. I rub my eyes. What on earth was in that creamy chalk? Or that unfamiliar yellow packet of sweetener? The last boiling drop of red sun sinks away, beside a far-off water tower standing out sharp against the blood glow along the horizon. Miles of air make the lights palpitate amid the grid of sad dock streets across the Hudson River. Up the sides of the city there's a whisper and a flicker, and do rats bare their yellow teeth on fire escapes and sniff? So New York. A flick of lashes stirs inside the sticky dusk. I peer to try to make out the eyes I thought I saw hanging there, staring from behind the air. Down across the highway, among the tower's geometric shouts into space, children play on fenced-in patches of grass, their voices through the traffic like the tiny bleats of sheep. I picture bomb blasts climbing inside the skyscrapers, ripping through their roofs and out among the clouds, air whisking in folds from the blades of helicopters with the flash of shattered glass. A squint at great events through two soft windows slit across the end of a thin flesh trunk upon a balcony. As normal clarity curls tight and peels away, I see the perimeters of myself as a whole entity, with the understanding that a driver attains of a car he masters, a jockey attains of a horse that he rides as one with, or a person attains with a long-time partner, a mastery of the possibilities of this particular pairing. This arrival at a mapping of myself's edges gives me a clearer sense of how this vehicle interacts with what's around it, and how it could interact. I feel serene, clear, resilient, strong. My sight newly empowered, calm, compassionate, canny, observant, as if beginning again. I'm aware of the wide totality of the scene before me, aware of its larger reality, the elements of infinity and eternity within it. I feel a high like a substance-derived high, but clearer and deeper. I look about me and I smile. So there's all this around us and in us, in this beautiful, empty cosmos, alone as we are in such a strange and fascinating predicament. I laugh aloud. What exhilaration! What riches of terror, beauty, horror, and mirth! As a use for all this, that extinguishment I was observing in the office behind me is like a mutilation of some kind. I was right to despise what perpetrates that, and in effect, although inanimate, it despises me. I seek voltage and revenge, and I'm newly empowered, though I'm not yet sure quite how. Okay, it's a battle. Time for action. Watch me now.